This morning, I'd like for you to open your Bibles, if you would, please, over to Philippians and look at Philippians, the third chapter. We're going to read just a couple of verses there, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Philippi. I've mentioned from time to time that this is probably, or at least in my judgment, it's one of the most positive books in the New Testament. Paul had a great relationship with the church at Philippi, and he spoke fondly of them often, and he has these words to say in verses 17 through 21 in chapter 3, and I'll be reading from the New King James. And for our visitors, though most of you are aware, passages that appear on the screen behind me will also be in the New King James. So beginning at verse 17 through 21, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be transformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." The Apostle Paul, in entreating them, points out the fact that there are role models for each and every one of us. And the question that we're asking ourselves this morning is quite simply this: who is your role model? Who are your role models? The sad reality is that while we're all going to have role models, some are going to choose bad role models. Some are going to choose good role models. Now, obviously, we want in this lesson to encourage the idea of the good role models, looking around and finding individuals and people that we can emulate within our lives. What we're going to do is look at three areas this morning in the lesson. One is the idea of imitating comes natural. We're just going to do that from time to time within our lives. The next thing we're going to be looking at is the fact that there is value in who we choose to have as role models within our lives. And then we're going to conclude this little lesson this morning by looking at role models and how we can emulate them within our lives. As we begin looking at this and recognize the fact that naturally we are going to look for role models, the first place to begin is within the parent-child, child-parent relationship. It's just a fact that little boys want to follow in the footsteps of their fathers, and little girls want to follow in the footsteps of their mothers, at least until they become teenagers. And after that, sometimes the children want the parents to follow in the children's footsteps. But that's for another lesson. The reality is that they are going to pick up on our mannerisms as children. There are no doubt examples in your memory of when your children were small, and you could see that the little boy might cross his legs the way Dad crossed his legs, or might make gestures as Father makes gestures, that daughters would want to walk like Mom walks and dress like Mom. And I would imagine almost every mother here has at some time or other found their little girls playing in their clothing and putting on high heels, in worst case scenarios, playing in the makeup and not doing too good a job of it. And in some tragic instances, they will find themselves having a little brother who is receiving the makeup that the little girl is putting on for that little boy, which gets into another whole issue. But it's just natural. We're going to imitate. And the first we're going to imitate are those who make the first impressions within our lives, and that's our parents. And as a result of that, there's a great responsibility that we as parents have in the example that we're going to show our children. And in later life, there are going to be instances where children might come to the gospel and the parents have not come to the gospel, and they will show, the children will be able to show their parents an example of being a New Testament Christian, and the parents will follow that example. So I think it's important that each and every day, we as parents and we as children, make sure we're doing things that our parents will recognize as good role models, that we're picking up on the good things that they're doing, and if they're picking up on some bad things, that we'll recognize that and bring it to an end. I think in a negative sense, one of the ways that bad examples are found are when small children begin to use some language, and I hope it doesn't happen among us as Christians, but when small children use vulgar language that they hear at home. I've heard that from time to time, and what was really odd is that the parents oftentimes wanted to make excuses as if the little boy had not heard the things that he heard, and they have no idea where they had heard those things. Now, I will grant you that maybe they heard them on the playground at school, but oftentimes it could be that they were hearing it from mom or dad. So we need to be careful, recognizing that there are going to be examples that are to be followed, and we want to be the proper kind of example. Another area that's really important is the idea of teens and adults in relation to peer pressures and peer examples. At first I was going to just talk about teens, but the reality is even we as adults find ourselves under pressure to conform, perhaps with the people that we work around or in some other environment, and so we need to be careful as well that we don't allow ourselves to pick up the bad habits of some of the people that we work around. That we don't pick up some of the bad habits of, for the children, people that we go to school with. It is possible that we can allow ourselves to forget the good example that our parents set and follow after the negative examples of children that we're seeing at school or interacting with in some other area. We just naturally want to fit in. We just naturally want to be accepted by our peers. And oftentimes in today's society, we're going to be surrounded by people that do not care at all about Jesus Christ. They don't care at all about God the Father. And therefore, they're not concerned about showing a good example, but rather that which is bad, that which is evil. And that's where it becomes the responsibility of every person who's reached the age of accountability to become a discerner of what is a good example to follow after and beware of the bad examples that might be around us, that might tempt us to follow in the evils that they are wanting to engage in. From a cultural perspective, I would suspect young people are more apt to be drawn to the bad examples than older people. It isn't that older people are somehow more morally superior, it's just that oftentimes we've gone through those challenges and have become set in what we would hope to be is the right way to live our lives, while young people are still trying to figure it out. And so they're influenced by the music they listen to. I have Sirius XM radio, and the primary reason for having it is to listen to the lopsided, warped discussions that are presented by Sirius football. They don't understand the greatness oftentimes of the Big Ten. But if you ever let your channels wander over to people like Howard Stern and some of the ones, I guess above a certain number, and I don't even go up into those numbers to bother, there it's crude, rude, vulgar. And the same thing is true with music. I've been out, usually in bigger cities, had my radio, had my car windows down, and somebody pulls up beside me that's listening to rap music. Rap music that's uncensored. And I'm surprised that there are Christians who at times have acknowledged that they're drawn to rap music that's full of just downright vulgarity. Language that's demeaning to women. Language that's demeaning to the human race. Something that we don't want to fill our heads with. And yet many young people have that as a popular genre of music. I would hope that none of the young people in the audience this morning do. But if you do, I would ask you, I would challenge you to think seriously about the words you're going to be listening to. And if you find yourself drawn to that, and you're thinking, but what about that country music that talks about the drunk who's cheating on his wife, etc.? I'll say to the country music fans, you need to You need to be careful of what you're listening to. And those within any of the genres of music, be discerners, as we talked last Sunday about listening. Be a discerner of what you're hearing. It's also important that we recognize, because we naturally are going to imitate, that we, as Christians, recognize that when we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we accepted the responsibility of being an example. I know that oftentimes there are people around us, and probably you have some at work, that want to say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but hey, don't follow my example. You know what you need to be saying as a child of God? I'm a child of God. Here I am. Follow my example. And we're going to look at some specifics in just a few minutes, but right now I simply want to make the observation that we need to be sure that we are reflecting the right attitudes, the right dispositions, and have the conduct that is appropriate to who we claim to be. It isn't just for the preacher. It isn't just for the elders. It isn't just for the Bible class teachers. Every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, have a responsibility to make sure that we're living a life that can be emulated by those around us. It needs to be that we are known as Christians. You've heard me make this comment, and there are some in the congregation that hold the same attitude I do, and that is the fact that just because you've been baptized into Christ, just because you put on Christ in baptism, just because you became a child of God, doesn't mean that you're always going to be a Christian. And by that I mean that Christianity, being a Christian, means I'm living my life as a follower of Christ. And God obviously wants us, if we're going to be His children, to be following Christ. But there are people that can be children of God that stop following Christ, stop behaving as Christians. We need to make sure we're not one of those. We need to make sure that when we look around us and find peers within the congregation, that we indeed will find individuals that we hold in high regard. In fact, I would hope that each and every one of us here have at least four or five people in this congregation that we have already designated in our own minds as individuals worthy of emulating within our lives. I hope right now, and I'm not going to do one of those calling you out today, but I hope every one of us, Kim's going, phew. I hope every one of us can call to mind people in this congregation that are worth setting as an example before us. Now here's the tough question. Would you be on anyone's list? Would you be on anyone's list as a person that they regard as worth emulating, as worth following? That takes a lot of self-examination and sometimes brutal honesty. And maybe what we need to do is, if we are honest with ourselves and can give a true accounting to ourselves, make the changes that will allow others to put us on their list of individuals that they hold in regard. As we consider the lesson further, we do want to note also that there is value within the idea of role models. There are those that are going to be able to help us. They're going to be able to help us in the example they set. They're going to be able to help us in doing the things that God wants us to do. Look over in Mark, the 3rd chapter. Here you find James and John, these two brothers that Jesus describes as being the sons of thunder. Now, why does he call them the sons of thunder? Because when you read over in Luke's account, what James and John want to do in a particular circumstance is have the Lord rain fire down and consume some individuals, just as Elijah did. They were individuals that said, let's get them when we can get them. They seemed to be individuals that were saying, we're not going to cut much slack. But here's the great thing about these men, and John in particular, because James dies early in the spreading of the gospel. But what do we find? Look at the words that John writes over in 1 John. This son of thunder, this man who wanted the fires of hell, well, the fires of hell aren't used, the fire to come and consume individuals. Look at what he writes in 1 John the 4th chapter, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And as you read 1 John, it is replete with the pleadings through the Holy Spirit, as John writes, of the idea of brotherly love among us. That's the transformative nature of being a child of God, the influence that Christ had on their lives. That's why we can see them being good and helpful for us in understanding who we are and what we are. Whether we're educated or uneducated, no matter who we are, we can boldly proclaim the gospel, the word of God. Over in Acts the 4th chapter in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, this is the counsel that they've been drawn before, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Jesus had an influence on them that changed their lives, even though they weren't part of the elite, even though they weren't part of the well-educated. There are good examples around us. We need to be those good examples. There in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 9, Paul writes, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Even in the midst of trials, notice in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 16 through 18, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, and I always have to stop right here, our light afflictions is being spoken by a man who was persecuted, beaten, left for dead, left out in the sea to drown, all the things, and he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look for the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We can be steadfast as children of God because of the role models that we find around us, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of trials. We mentioned earlier the fact that there are indeed bad examples. And why are they bad? Because the bad ones are going to hinder us. The bad role models we choose will hinder us in our potential. They will stop us from being all that we can be as children of God. Listen, that is such an axiomatic truth that you can take it into any field of life, in any job or vocation. If you surround yourself with bad, what you're going to do, if you're not careful, is pick up their bad habits, and you're going to be one who's not doing well. Tish and I were talking briefly yesterday about teachers and the example that young teachers need to have so that they can continue to be the good teachers that they were when they started out with all that energy. It doesn't need to die off. The role model needs to be a good role model. So it's not just within our spiritual walk, but all through life. You pick bad examples. If you pick bad role models, they're going to hinder you from being what you can be. They are going to discourage you from striving for excellence within your life. They are going to be individuals that you're going to end up mimicking within their bad habits. It can become an indicator early in life. If we surround ourselves with the bad kids rather than the kids that want to do what's good, and then we go on later into life and we pick bad friends in our adolescence rather than people that want to do good, and then it can even go on further in life because we're developing this habit and we're mimicking the bad behaviors, and when we get into our adult life, we begin to choose the bad examples and we mimic their bad behavior as well. We need to be careful. We need to recognize that it won't be long before our conduct will be as bad as the bad people we hang out with. It's just going to happen in most cases. We need to recognize also that as we talk about this matter, we see the importance of choosing role models that we indeed can emulate within our lives. We have before us the Father and the Son, the deity. Obviously, that's at the top of the list. Obviously, Jesus Christ encourages us in what we should do in our kindness toward those who are even our enemies. Obviously, Jesus Christ sets before us the example of how we should walk every day of our lives. We also find the Apostle Paul, as he instructed the Philippians in the 5th chapter, verses 1 and 2, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. Now, you might say, well, that's where it begins and that's where it ends. But the reality is, that isn't where it begins and ends. It goes beyond that. And beyond isn't to suggest something superior. I'm just simply saying, God has given us other examples to follow. There are a number of biblical characters, and you could really put a whole sermon around the biblical characters. But what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter? In the first verse, he says, imitate me. I want you to think for a minute about what he says in that passage. Really, a short one-liner, just as I also imitate Christ. It's a gutsy thing to step out and say to others, imitate me. Imitate me. Are we living a life that can do that? Are we living a life that should do that? Paul's not being boastful in some sinful fashion. He is simply saying, imitate me. And while we may not verbally say it, we should be living a life that says, imitate me. Step out. Be an example. Let others know that you're going to walk in such a way that they can follow what you're doing in the life you live. In the strength you are to this congregation. The fellowship of this congregation is only as strong as we all make it to be. I got a call from a friend yesterday who has started preaching the gospel, and he has a friend that has asked him or commented on the fact that there's no direct command to come together and worship God. I told him that that's one of those kinds of things that is so evident that it doesn't even need to be said. But then, further in the conversation, what I went on to make is a point. The person that said such a thing doesn't understand Bible authority. Because while I can do a Bible search and not find a direct statement of that, Bible authority, as we've finished studying, is necessary inference, biblical statements of truth, direct commands, and approved apostolic examples. And you can go to Acts, the second chapter. You can go to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, or back to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. You can go to Acts, the 20th chapter. And in all of those, you ask yourself, what were they doing if they weren't worshiping God? Apparently this man was going to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 25, and that was just, they were just in assemblies of encouragement. And my question to my friend for that person is quite simply this. How do spiritual people encourage one another without the worshiping of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? It can't be done. It can't be done. Be imitators of the Apostle Paul. Over in Romans, the 16th chapter, verses 3 and 4, really you could go throughout this whole chapter, but just greet Priscilla and Aquila. You have it quite simply there. My fellow workers in Jesus Christ, who risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. John talks about the elder to the beloved Gaius. He was an example to be followed. We find over in Acts the 9th chapter, then Peter arose and went to them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. She was one that was an example to them. So male and female are examples. Paul talks about Timothy being an example. And again, there are others in the Testament, and we could get into Old Testament examples as well. But also we have the matter of fellow Christians, as we've talked throughout the course of the lesson this morning. There in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. The Apostle Paul was saying, pay attention to these people. Pay attention to one another. Be one of those Christians that others pay attention to. Pay attention for the right reasons. And recognize there can be individuals who are professing godliness and are not godly. Paul warned the Philippians there in the 3rd chapter, for many walk of whom I told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. I hope you all think about being a role model to someone for the rest of your life. Someone in this congregation, or those visiting with us in whatever the congregation they're a part of. Be an example of one who is here to encourage us when the doors are open. Be an example of one who is there to show us the good works that they are to do, that God asks of all of us. Seek out those who are spiritually mature. Seek out those that you are willing to say, I'll follow them. Because what I see from them is what Jesus Christ wants them to be, and He wants me to be. And they can help lead me to be that person, that Christian I'm to be. I hope we'll all recognize it's a natural thing to be one who wants to imitate, and there is a value in role models, and then be one who emulates and can be emulated. John says in 1 John, the 1st chapter, the 7th verse, that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Are you walking in the light this morning? Or are you still walking in darkness? If you're walking in darkness and understand that you're in darkness, you need to repent of it. You need to come to the light of Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a song of encouragement with the idea that you would come and confess Christ as the Son of God and then be buried in the waters of baptism to rise to walk in newness of life. If you're a child of God that desires that we pray with you about some matter, if you think there's some matter that you want the congregation to specifically deal with and pray about, then by all means, let us be of assistance to you. But if you have a need to respond, we invite you to have a seat here at the front as we stand together and as we sing.